First of all, on behalf of Father Eckert and Father Graebner, I wish to extend to all of you and your families a most blessed Easter. We celebrate today the single greatest event in human history. It is the resurrection of our Lord from the dead. A couple of days ago, we celebrated the single greatest act of love that humanity has ever experienced. And that is our Lord going to the cross for us. And even though he told us that that is what he was doing, we still needed something more. The Romans crucified many people. To none of them do we look as our Savior. None of them do we claim to be the Christ. We could even look and say, well, yeah, but he told us that he was going to the cross because he was going to take away our sins. And that's true. But how do we know that that happened? He told us who he was, but how do we know unless there is some evidence to point to it? If I stood here before you and said, guess what? I'm the Son of God. I'm the Messiah. You're going to say, you're a nut. So what would need to happen for me to prove it? It wouldn't be enough for me just to say, well, look, I'll die. Yeah? So does everybody else. We could say, yeah, but he died for us. I can point you to somebody like a St. Maximilian Kolbe who died for someone else. And I'm sure that that man for whom he died and his family were very grateful. That man was able to live for many years after that. But then he had to die. And so just to be able to point to something like that, yeah, we can say St. Maximilian Kolbe is a saint. But being a saint didn't take away that man's sins. It allowed the man to continue to live in this world for a while. But it didn't remove his sins. And it didn't give him eternal life. And St. Maximilian never said that he was the Messiah or that he was God. Jesus did. Several times he told people that. Remember, they picked up stones to throw at him because he said that he was God. They claimed, in fact, they crucified him for blasphemy because he said that he is the Son of God. He also told us several times that he is the Christ. Remember the woman at the well when she came and was talking to Jesus and said, we know that the prophet is coming, the one who is the Christ. He said, I am he, the one you're talking to. Peter proclaimed that he is the Christ, the Son of God. Martha did the same thing. I've come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is to come into the world. Okay, they said that. They heard it when he said it. And now we'd still have to say, prove it. Talk is cheap. Anybody can say anything. Like I said, I could stand here and say, I am God. I'm the Messiah, and you're not going to believe that for one split second. And you're right in not believing that. But did they believe it? No. Look at what we just heard in the gospel reading. These holy women came to anoint the body of Jesus. The Jewish burial required that that anointing was done with all these different herbs and so on to cover up the smell of the rotting body. It wasn't because of the dignity of the body that they were doing that. It was to be able to cover up the stench. They came to anoint his body because they thought he was dead forever, like every other human being who died. They didn't expect he was going to rise from the dead. He told them several times. Remember, even at the Transfiguration, the three apostles saw our Lord in his transfigured glory, a prefiguration of what the resurrection was going to be. And our Lord said, don't tell anybody about this vision until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. And the only thing that we're told is they talked among one another about what does it mean to rise from the dead. No one had ever done this before. Obviously, they couldn't understand what he was talking about. We can't blame them. But the reality is, even though he told them several times he was going to rise from the dead, not a single one of them, other than Our Lady, believed that he was going to rise from the dead. None of them. But it is precisely the resurrection from the dead that demonstrates who he is. Everything that he said, we can look back now through that lens of the resurrection, and we can say, this demonstrates everything he said. He rose from the dead because he is God. And therefore, because he rose from the dead, now we can look back at the crucifixion and we can say it is exactly in that that he takes away our sins. But as wonderful even as that would be to be able to say, okay, we know that in the crucifixion he said he came to serve and not to be served. He said he came to give his life as a ransom for the many. We can look at that and say, okay, that's great. Our sins are forgiven. Like, where's that going to get us? So our sins are forgiven. That's pretty wonderful. So what? Unless there's something more that follows from having our sins forgiven, all that it does is bring some peace of mind and conscience to our hearts. It doesn't do anything else. But it's in the resurrection that we see that not only then are our sins forgiven, but death is destroyed. So our sins are destroyed, death, which is a consequence of sin, is destroyed, and we are given life. Not like the man for whom Saint Maximilian died. He continued just living on his normal human life. You and I have been given divine life. The grace of God, with our sins forgiven, has filled our souls. You and I have become sons and daughters of God. You and I have become members of Jesus Christ. But even to say that, understand he is only the Christ because he rose from the dead. Yes, it's the whole of the Passion and the resurrection, but the rest of the Passion can only be understood through the resurrection. So while, yes, the crucifixion is the greatest act of love that humanity has ever known, the greatest event is what we celebrate today, because it is only through this that we understand the love that he poured out for us on the cross. It is only in the resurrection that we can understand the importance of the forgiveness of sin, that we can recognize our dignity as Christian people. But that's exactly then the point that we have to look at. So the church gives us this reading from St. Paul when he talks about getting rid of the leaven, because he said, Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. Remember, at the Passover, the Jewish people had to eat only unleavened bread for those 7 days. But it wasn't just a matter that they could only eat unleavened bread. They had to remove all leaven from their house. They literally clean all the cupboards to make sure there's nothing tucked away anywhere, and all of it needs to be thrown away. That's what St. Paul is telling us to do. We are the house now where the Lord dwells. And he's saying, get rid of the old leaven. Get rid of what it was like before your conversion, before your baptism, and live according to the new way. He said, get rid of the leaven of malice. Get rid of the leaven of wickedness. And now become the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. That's who we are supposed to be. And that, again, is what this feast does. It calls us to look at who we are. We are defined by this feast. St. Paul reminds us that when we are baptized into the death of the Lord so that we can share in his resurrection. You already do. Obviously, the day will come when every one of us will have to die, and on the last day of the world, we will rise from the dead. But in the meantime, we already participate in that mystery, or even more so, that mystery is living within each one of us because you are baptized into Christ. This defines who you are. But how many of us actually think that way? I suspect for most of us, if we were asked to define ourselves, we might say things like, well, we're Americans, or I'm the husband or the wife of so-and-so, or I'm the father or mother of so-and-so, or I'm the child and brother and sister of so-and-so, whatever it might be. How many of us look at the definition of ourselves and say, I am a Christian, I'm a Catholic, I'm a member of Jesus Christ, I'm a son or a daughter of God? That's who you are. Everything else follows from it. But sadly, it's not the way that we tend to think. And consequently, it's not the way we tend to act. We come to church and then we go out and act like a bunch of pagans because we don't understand our dignity as members of Christ. And the only reason we don't understand our dignity as members of Christ is because we don't recognize his crucifixion and his resurrection. We acknowledge it, but we don't let it in. And that's where the difference has to be. We've all heard these things hundreds and hundreds of times, and consequently, they tend to go in one ear and out the other. It's time that we open the heart and let them in. They need to change us. Think what happened to the people in the early church. They were changed. Not only did they stop living their pagan way or even their Jewish way of life to live according to the way of Christ, but they were filled with joy, they were filled with hope, they were filled with virtue. That's what they were all about. Even the apostles, you can look at it and say, okay, before the resurrection, these guys were filled with fear. They were hoping that Jesus was the Messiah, but they didn't believe it. Even though Peter had actually acknowledged it, he didn't believe Jesus was going to rise from the dead. They had the wrong idea. And so when he was crucified, they ran away and they locked themselves up out of fear. And then look what happened after the resurrection. They were fearless. It changed their lives forever. They were going to now live their lives for Christ. You are Christian. We're to live our lives for Christ. That's what it means. But we have to define ourselves that way before we can live that way. So if we are truly going to accept who we are, then it's going to change the way we act. It's going to change the way we speak. It's going to change everything in our lives because we define ourselves according to the death and resurrection of Christ. He is the Christ because of his death and resurrection. And every single time that you receive Holy Communion, that mystery is happening within you. When you come to Mass, it is the death of the Lord. It is also the resurrection of the Lord. And when you receive Holy Communion, remember, you receive Jesus as he is right now. That means seated at the right hand of God in his glory. So risen from the dead and glorified. That's the manner in which you receive him. He is uniting himself to you in that way, in his glory. That's the mystery happening in you. So you become the dwelling place of God. That's why St. Paul is saying, clean out the house, get all the leaven out of there, get all the junk out that shouldn't be there. The things that go against what it means to be a Christian person, clean that out of the house so that we can live in sincerity and in truth. That's what we have to be about. So even the word sincere, if we think about it, it means without wax. Look at that and go, huh? What that means is that they used to, when they would take the white marble and there would be an imperfection in the marble, they would try to cover it up by filling it up with wax. So then you couldn't see that there was that little gap in there or whatever because they filled it up. So it means nothing fake. To be sincere, you're not covering something up. You're not trying to make yourself look like somebody that you're not. But it's real. You are a son or a daughter of God. You are a member of Jesus Christ. You are a Christian person. You are defined by the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is who we are without wax. Sincere, nothing fake. That's who we have to be. That's what the world needs right now. Just as the early Christians went out and they lived what they professed and they changed the world that way, Christians today haven't been doing that. We have failed miserably because we've decided to become like the world rather than like Christ. This is the call now to come back to who we really are, to really look at the truth of our own self and to embrace it and to live it. So this is the single greatest event in human history. It is also the defining event of our lives, of our persons. So let that in. Let that into the heart. Open the heart. Get all the junk out again. Open up the cupboards and get everything out that doesn't belong there so the truth can get in. The truth of who we are. Let it in. Accept it. Believe it. And change our lives accordingly. Then not only is this the greatest event objectively in human history, it is the greatest event and the defining event for each one of us subjectively. This is who we are. The love of God poured into our hearts. The Son of God entering into us in Holy Communion because we have entered into Him in baptism. That's what we are called to be. That's how we are called to live, according to our dignity as Christian people, because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ.